What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Living Your Best Life. I'm Coach Adamir, and I really thank you for tuning in today. I want to talk about something that has often come up in my line of work, and it's definitely been a question over the last few years, and that's, should I exercise when I'm sick? Now, clearly, when we feel sick, it's difficult to have any energy for anything besides probably curling up on the couch, getting some hot tea, maybe some comfort food, right? And then binge watch our favorite TV shows. It's much easier to sit back, relax, and let our body recover, right? But if we feel it coming and it hasn't really overtaken us, we still have a little bit of energy left and we don't feel like shit completely, I highly recommend getting in some type of movement just to help bolster that immune response and then quickly fight off any incoming infections. All right, so today I'm gonna briefly explain how the immune system works and then how we can use exercise to maintain that healthy immune response along with building our immunity to those pathogens. First, I wanna talk about how the immune system works. All right, so every day, bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites are coming at us from everywhere, no matter how hard we try to avoid them. All right, and the most common culprits are gonna be our upper respiratory tract invaders. Those are your colds, the coughs, the influenza, so the flu, sinusitis, tonsillitis, minor throat infections, as well as ear infections. All right, so those are the most common bacteria and viruses that we come across throughout our lives. All right, and our immune system, when faced with those foreign attacks, it works really, really hard to defend us. All right, without it, we'd probably never have a healthy day in our lives. All right, so our immune systems are incredibly important and incredibly valuable to us. All right, the way it works is immune cells originate in our bone marrow and our thymus. Your thymus is a lymph node in your vertebrae that produces T cells for our immune system. I'll get into what T cells are later, but those are the immune cells that originate in our bone marrow and thymus. And what those immune cells do, they make first contact with invaders that appear in our mouth, your gut, your lungs, and your urinary tract. All right, so those are the ways infections get into our bodies, and that's how those immune cells fight and make first contact. All right, and there's two different immune responses. There are our innate and our adaptive immune response. All right, our innate immune system is our natural immune system. That's our first line of defense. All right, the first one is our physical and structural barriers. Those are the mucus lining in your nasal passages. That's our first line of defense in our sinus cavity, right? And then we have our chemical barriers. So real quick, actually, mucus lining in your nasal passages, that's your mouth and lungs, right? Those are the invaders in mouth and lung. Then you get your chemical barriers, which would be your stomach acids, so that's your gut. That's where the bacteria enters the gut. And then you got your protective cells, which are called your natural killer cells, your NK cells. Those are the white blood cells that destroy the harmful invaders that enter through the blood or through the urinary tract, okay? And the innate immune system, our natural immune system, this is the one that develops when we're young. This is the one that we all hear about when we're kids, that we need to be exposed to certain viruses in order to build our immune system, right? And what's interesting to note is that women actually tend to have a stronger innate immune response, right? And that's likely why they often do better than men when it comes to colds. Cue the man sitting, lying on the couch, whining that he's sick and just wants everything to be done for him, right? We've all seen that example. We all know that example. However, women actually tend to suffer more from autoimmune disease as well. So there's a give and take with that. Not to say every woman's going to suffer from that, but there is more of a likelihood from that as well. All right. The other immune system is our adaptive immune system. That's our acquired immune system. So that's our more sophisticated system that's composed of the highly specialized cells and processes. This is what kicks in when our natural system is overcome. All right, so once it's gotten past our first line of defense and it's taken a little bit of hold in our bodies, the adaptive system kicks in. All right, and this is what helps fight the infections by preventing those pathogens from colonizing and spreading, and it destroys those microorganisms like viruses and bacteria. All right, this is what our T and B cells are for. So I mentioned it earlier, the T cells, those are specialized white blood cells that mature in the thymus. That's that lymph node I told you about, and the bone marrow. And these have a sort of memory. All right, so this is what makes them effective. Your T cells and B cells have a memory. It's not like memory like us, where we have, memories and we remember them and we just go through them like pictures in our brain. It recognizes a specific pathogen, and it's able to more effectively mobilize against it and fight it. Right? It recognizes the genetic makeup. It's done this before and knows exactly what to do. This is what we talk about when we say building our immunity. All right? And this is why kids get sick with viruses more often than adults do. All right? They haven't had as much exposure to these pathogens, so their adaptive response is less mature. Right? Once exposed, the immune system will know what to do next time. This is a prime example of if you get the flu as a kid, you're less likely to get it as an adult or have severe infection as an adult. If you get the chicken pox as a kid, you're less likely to get it as you get older, right? Our B cells, our T cells have remembered and have saved the genetic code to fight that off next time. All right, so now that we know how the immune system works a little bit, let's answer the question, should I exercise while I'm sick? Now, I want to differentiate the difference between working out and just physically moving your body. And I'll refer to that as non-strenuous exercise. So, a structured workout routine where you're breathing heavily, you're sweating, you're working hard, your heart rate's elevated, you're feeling that discomfort in your muscles and your joints, that's what's going to awaken a stress response in your body. That's what we don't want when we're sick. All right, because when we're healthy, our bodies can easily adapt to that stress. And over time, that progressive adaptation is what makes us fitter and stronger. But when we're sick, the stress of a tough workout can be more than our immune system can handle. Right? We may actually be doing more bad than good when we're doing extraneous exercise. Right? And unless you're severely out of shape, non-strenuous movement isn't going to hurt you. It's actually going to help you. All right? When we talk about non-strenuous movement, walking. All right? So a nice walk outside, preferably outside, of course. You're going to get some vitamin D. You're going to get some fresh air. That's going to help bolster your immune response. A low intensity bike ride can help too. If you're able to do it outside, again, do it outside. If you have a stationary bike, nice and easy, don't go crazy, right? Gardening is also a nice low strenuous movement, right? You're squatting, you're sitting, you may move up and down a little bit, but it won't get you too out of breath and it won't elevate your heart rate so much, but you'll also be outside, you'll also be getting fresh air. A nature walk is nice too. If you have a trail nearby that it's not up and down on hills, it's a flat path, you can walk on it easily without elevating your heart rate. You're at least outside, you're in nature, you're building your immune system through being in nature, which could be a whole nother topic, but being outside can help so much in improving your immune health. All right. And if you're at home and it's winter time and you can't be outside, yoga is nice inside. Find a 20 to 30 minute program that you can do. Tai Chi is a good movement-based exercise as well. It's good for breath work. It's good for just aligning yourself with your body and your brain. So all those activities, non-strenuous, but they've been shown to boost immunity. All right? They're not intense enough to create an immune-compromising stress response on the body. But instead, they often help you feel better and recover faster when you feel under the weather. All right, so keep it to low intensity, minimal heart rate elevation, and preferably outside if you can. All right, if it's snowing, raining, or wherever you are and it's impossible or it's super hot, just stay indoors. All right, so what about working out? Right, we talk about non-strenuous movement. I talked about there's a difference between working out and non-strenuous. So non-strenuous movement and purposefully working out are going to be completely different, right? You got your low intensity versus high intensity. So how can you decide what level of intensity counts as strenuous for you? Honestly, let your own perception determine that, right? Let your own perception of your exertion be the guide of what is low to moderate and high intensity for you. In general, a low to moderate intensity workout is going to leave you feeling energized, and a high intensity workout is more likely going to deliver an ass whooping, right? You're going to feel exhausted afterwards. So if you're sick, avoid the ass kicking. All right, and I'll tell you why. Exercise plays a huge role in both our innate and our adaptive immune response. All right, so after one prolonged, vigorous exercise session, we're more susceptible to infection. So, as an example, running a marathon is going to temporarily depress the adaptive immune system for up to 72 hours, 3 days after the run's over. This is why many endurance athletes get sick right after races. All right, look it up. You'll see it's true. On the other hand, a brief, vigorous exercise session doesn't cause the same immune suppressing effect. So 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour of a vigorous exercise session is going to have is not going to have the same immune suppressing effect as a long session. All right, and then just one moderate intensity session can actually boost immunity in healthy people. All right, so keep that in mind, because bottom line, there's a simple pattern here. All right, consistent moderate exercise and resistance training can strengthen the immune system over time. So if you're healthy, train hard while you're healthy, as much as you can to avoid falling under the weather. All right, so we don't even have to have this question. All right, and if you are feeling sick, just do single short direct low intensity short direction exercise sessions, because you don't want to interfere with your immune function, right? So if you want to do high intensity or long duration exercise, I don't recommend it when you're feeling sick, okay? And if you're still wondering, you know, because I said, right, use your own perception and use your gauge. If you're still wondering if maybe you should or not because you really just don't know, here's a couple guidelines for you guys. If you're feeling sick on day one of your illness, I would recommend low intensity exercise if you have symptoms like sore throat, coughing, runny nose, or a congested nose. All right, but if you're experiencing muscle or joint pain, you have a headache, you have fever, you have diarrhea, you're vomiting, you just really feel shitty, right? Don't exercise. All right, you may cause more harm than good by stressing your immune system, okay? You can't recover when your body's starting to feel sick, so don't put yourself through such strenuous movement. So, none at all. All right, on day two, if your body temperature has risen above 99.5 to 100.5 degrees Fahrenheit, if it's above that, and if you're my non-US listeners, that's 37.5 to 38 degrees Celsius. If the temperature is increased above that, or your cough has gotten worse, you still have diarrhea and vomiting, again, don't exercise. All right, but if you have no fever, your quote unquote above the neck symptoms are not worsening, like a headache or your fever is getting lower, light exercise, that's your walks, a nice hike, or nature walk, sorry, yoga, gardening, things like that. Keep your heart rate under 120 beats per minute. If you can monitor it, I highly suggest it. And then don't go for longer than 30 to 45 minutes. Okay? 30 minutes to start, maybe 45 minutes the next day if you feel better. Again, preferably outdoors, but if you absolutely cannot, do something inside. All right? On day three, if you still have fever and your symptoms are still present, they haven't gotten better or worse, it's time to call your doctor, okay? This is not a question of whether I should exercise anymore. This is, should I go see a doctor or should I see a nurse, right? And if you have no fever, your initial symptoms are gone, then moderate exercise is suggested. Your heart rate can get a little higher, 150 beats per minute, and you can probably go a little longer, 45 minutes to an hour. But again, just take it at your own pace. Don't go crazy. And if on day four you are still sick, you have no symptoms, and I'm sorry, you have no symptom relief, and they've gotten worse, please, please, please go to a doctor, okay? Can't help you there anymore. You're in the hands of a doctor now. And if everything's improved, you're feeling much better, I suggest waiting 24 hours and then returning to a regular exercise routine. But I will suggest easing back into it. So, in proportion to like how long you've been sick, right? So if I was sick 2 to 3 days, I'd ease back in for 2 to 3 days, you know. So I would do those maybe 45-minute workouts, 150 beats per minute, no more than that, for about 2 to 3 days, see how I feel, and then I should be able to get back into my full workout routine by day four. All right. So at the end of the day, to exercise or not to exercise, right? What I personally would recommend, and what I recommend to most of my clients, to my friends, to family, when it comes to exercising while sick, I am a firm believer that even a little bit of movement is going to go a long way, right? And light activities are going to be your best option, okay? I'm going to mention it again, walking. You know, we all talk about we don't have a gym, or I can't run a mile, and I can't start doing this or that. Take a walk, you guys. Walk around the block, put some headphones in, listen to music, or don't, right? Just listen to the sounds around you, be present in that walk. If you're able to do a light jog, take a nice little light jog, right? Get your heart rate up a little bit, get that blood flow. That's going to help you out a lot. A nature walk is good. Yoga, bike ride, stuff like that is going to be light and easy, right? Not too strenuous on your body and not too taxing on your energy systems. Excuse me. And then I would stay away from tough activities that are going to be very taxing and are also going to help, I'm sorry, also going to prevent recovery. So, as much as it pains me to say, no heavy strength training while you're sick, no endurance training, so no long distance runs, no long bouts of training. You're not going to go for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, right? You're going to keep it to a minimum. No HIIT style workouts, right? So you don't want your heart rate to go up and down. You don't want your heart rate to be above 150 beats per minute. That's not how we're gonna recover, right? No sprinting, no team sports, and no pickup games, nothing like that. First of all, you shouldn't be around people if you're starting to feel sick. So, no team sports, and then obviously that's gonna be very, very strenuous. So don't do that. And then don't exercise in extreme temperatures. Okay, so if you live in areas where temperatures are super cold, it's snowy, it's rainy, it's icy, things like that, try to stay away from training in that if you're feeling sick. And if you live in, I don't know, Southern California like me, and it gets 1,000 degrees sometimes, stay inside, all right? And don't do any like hot yoga or ice baths or things like that. Just keep it simple, keep it normal. Don't put your body through extra if it doesn't need to. All right, and for everyone's sake, please, please, please stay out of the gym if you're starting to feel sick. Okay, that was a question even before the pandemic, right? Like people would say, "I'm feeling a little under the weather. Do you think I should go in?" No, don't. I admire you wanting to come in and exercise, but you can do some, again, low to moderate exercise at home or outside at the park, on a trail, whatever. But stay out of the gym, right? We don't want to bring your germs, and if you're possibly contagious, into a small space and then touch all the equipment and breathe hard everywhere and sweat everywhere, right? Be mindful of other people, be kind to other people's health. So just stay away from the gym, right? Everything else you can do outside at home. So when it comes to sickness and exercise, it's always going to be best to take an honest assessment of how you're feeling first and whether or not you can safely do any of the non-strenuous workouts I talked about. One thing I will remind you of though, you guys, is please don't get down on yourself if you can't do any of it, right? If you're at that point where you're like, "Man, I'm sick, I really can't do anything," that's okay, right? Sometimes getting sick is our body's way of telling us to slow down, right? And that we may have been pushing ourselves in other ways, that we compromise our immune response by overstressing other systems in our bodies, right? Stress has a big impact on that. Lack of sleep has a big impact on that. Our diets have a big impact on that, right? So We have to be mindful of everything and not get so discouraged if we get sick and we can't exercise, right? There's other things we can do to improve our health during that time. So be mindful of that as well. Because dwelling on the fact that you're sick and can't exercise is not going to do anything. If anything, it can make things worse, right? So stay away from feeling shitty about feeling shitty. All right. My advice to you is to just do what you can to the best of your ability at the time and trust that your body's going to recover to the best of its ability as well. Our bodies are pretty remarkable. If we give it what it needs with proper nutrition, proper sleep, not stressing ourselves out all the time, then we give ourselves a fighting chance to always stay healthy and always stay on top of these sicknesses, right? Give your body that chance to fight for you, right? You have to take care of yourself first so that when you are healthy and recovered, you can make sure to add movement in your routine so that you can maintain that healthy immune system, all right? So thanks for your support, you guys, as always. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, on Twitter for content during the week. And when you get a trance, when you get a chance, drop a review if you can. I'd really appreciate it. So I will talk to you all next time. Remember, have a great week, you guys. Love yourself and go be the best version of yourself. Bye.